The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Matthew chapter 26. Today, as Andrew has mentioned, we are sharing in the Lord's Supper together today. This is the month of thanks for us, as we have been focusing on that theme throughout this month. The first Sunday we were able to celebrate together under the tent and share a meal and give thanks. And then last Sunday we looked at the first part of Psalm 92 of our memory verse, and we will finish that out next week. But today, as we are approaching Thanksgiving week, I thought it would be very fitting for us to share in the Lord's Supper together as a reminder that we have much to be thankful for. Certainly we are thankful to get together with family, thankful to see maybe friends and distance relatives that you've not seen before, and we're thankful for that. But at the same token, there's something that runs even far deeper in gratitude than just what we have in the physical connections. We are only able to live, breathe, and have our being because God has given us life to do so, and we're only able to appreciate those things even greater when Christ has become a part of our life. Today, I want you to see the Lord's Supper through the lens of thankfulness this morning. I encourage you to turn to Matthew 26, and what we want to do is two things this morning. I want to teach for a period of time, and then we're going to share in the Lord's Supper together. And as we look at this text, what I want you to see, first of all, is Jesus being thankful, and then why we can be thankful for his sacrifice. You know, as we read this text, I want you to see first and foremost that oftentimes when we think about the Lord's Supper, we talk about our gratitude towards it. But I don't know if you realize or not, but Jesus is actually the one giving thanks as he gives the Lord's Supper. I want you to let that sink in for just a moment. The Lord's Supper is symbolizing his death and his sacrifice, and Jesus gives thanks. Look with me to Matthew 26, verse 26. The time frame here is that Jesus is literally about to go out to the garden, and he's going to be arrested, and his trial and his suffering, his scourging and his persecution and eventually his death is about to begin. And in this moment, Jesus is taking this time that Jews who are celebrating the Passover feast this week, and Jesus is taking that same meal that the Jews always participated in annually to give a commemoration for how God delivered them from the wilderness. And in that same celebration, now Christ is giving a complete new understanding and a meaning and fulfillment to those things. He is the culmination that all of that Passover remembrance has been pointing to for all of these years. And now, he's going to share this with his disciples and give new meaning to the bread and the cup. You understand that when the Jews would celebrate the Passover, they didn't have just the bread and the cup. They had a meal. And it was from two items of that meal that Jesus brings a highlight to point to himself. And I want you to see why he is thankful. Matthew 26, verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Did you see it there in verse 27? And he gave thanks. You know, this Lord's Supper that we're participating in many churches is called by different names. It's the three most common is the Lord's Supper, Communion, and the Eucharist. The reason why it's called the Eucharist is because the word that is used for thanks here actually comes from the Greek word eucharistē. I want you to think about this. At the very heart of what is at the center of the Lord's Supper is the Eucharist. Not about the bread turning into the literal body of Jesus. It's not about the blood literally turning into, or the cup turning into Jesus' blood, because those things aren't happening. But at the center of this, for us, if you haven't had this understanding, I hope to heighten your understanding that when we come to the Lord's Supper table, certainly it's a time of remembrance, but at the heart of it is thankfulness and for all that He has done. I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus is giving thanks, and He is going towards a cross. For our parallel understanding, that's like going to the electric chair. And Jesus is giving thanks. I don't know too many of us who would be facing an electric chair who is saying, thank you for what I'm about to go through. But it's not just the event itself, it is what it is doing that is why Christ is thankful. Let me explain this to you. Jesus is giving thanks first and foremost for His body. You see it there in verse 26. For the bread, He says, take it, eat this, this is my body. Now, just over in another gospel, in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus makes this statement, says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is clearly saying that it's because of His body that's going to be broken that we can have true life, true meaning. But let me show you a prophecy that pointed to all the what He was going to do. Look at Isaiah chapter 53 with me. Isaiah 53 is the prophecy that is pointing forward to the Messiah that's going to come. And I want you to see what is really embodied here in verse 4 through verse 6, which is really understanding, because the bread is symbolizing the suffering that Christ is going through. What His body is going to endure when He takes the bread and He breaks it. His body was going to suffer much for us. The crown of thorns, the pierced side, the nails in His hands and His feet that would literally pierce the nerves that are in His legs and in His hands that would shoot pain throughout His entire body. So when you take that bread, it's a reminder that Christ didn't just endure a little, He suffered much for us. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Then with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Do you see it there in Isaiah 53? That Christ with His body being broken. So think about this with me. Again, Christ is giving thanks. Back to Matthew 26. Jesus also gives thanks for the cup. Verse 27. And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them and saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Why is Christ being thankful here when He takes the cup? Jesus is not just thankful for His body, but He is also thankful for His cup that He is now about to share with the disciples. He's not just thankful for the cup in of itself. He's thankful for what it's going to symbolize. It's the blood of the new covenant. Understand this. There was, from the beginning of creation, blood sacrifice had to be made to cover sin all the way back to Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, they sinned. What did they do? They tried to hide. They tried to make fig leaves of their own works. Very symbolic of works effort to try to cover their sin. They do it in their best ability to cover their sin. They sew fig leaves together, but it wasn't satisfactory before God. None of us can ever hide our sin before God. We can't atone for our own sin before God. No one can. So what did God do? He gave them clothes out of animal skins, which means that a sacrifice of the things that he had just made. Remember what Jesus had, what God had said, out of every day, it was good. So Jesus has taken a perfect animal sacrifice to cover Adam and Eve's sin. So when we see from creation, it's not that there is now this new sacrifice. There's been a sacrificial system all the way since the beginning of creation. But all those sacrifices throughout entire history was only sufficient enough to satisfy the wrath of God towards sin, showing the faith of humanity to say, God, we're sinful. We offer this sacrifice to you. And God would let that sacrifice atone for those sins, but he was putting off the punishment for those particular people and pushing it forward until his son was going to come to be able to satisfy all of the sin punishment that needed to be due. So the wrath of God is stacking up through history. And so when Christ comes, when Jesus is saying, God, I'm thankful for this cup, it's a symbol of the blood of the new covenant, all of the wrath that's been stacking up since the beginning of creation, waiting for the perfect sacrifice to come. And when Christ comes, he is the one, he's saying, God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this cup. What he's saying is, God, I'm thankful that I'm going to get to atone perfectly for every person in humanity who sinned against you, who placed faith in me, and for every person forward. I am thankful that the sin is going to be atoned for. That's what he's saying. He's not saying just thankful to get to have a meal with his disciples. He's thankful that the sacrificial system will come to an end. Look at it with me in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. So when you come, take the Lord's Supper, there should never, ever, believer, ever be a time that you don't take the Lord's Supper, and you should take it with ingratitude. That truth in itself, that Christ was the atoning sacrifice, it would be enough for us to suffer the wrath of God for our own sins, and we have plenty. But he takes it all. So when you take that piece of bread here this morning and you place it in your mouth, it's a reminder that God's body through Christ, his blood that was shed, it's all on him. How we can be thankful. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Blood had to be shed. So there, back in Matthew 26, when Jesus is saying, take this cup, and he gave thanks for it, he's giving thanks because he knows his blood is going to be shed, and he knows there's going to be permanent forgiveness of sins. Because you know what happened in the Old Testament? You go offer a sacrifice, and you sin again. Guess what you have to do? You got to go again. That means a lot of us would be living at the temple. The temple was not a glorious, beautiful place. It was bloody. We have these images, and even if you look at the back of your Bible, it's these perfect-looking gold pictures and everything's laid. It was covered in blood. It was a constant reminder you're walking up there, and a recognition that we're sinful people before a holy God. Literally, God in his Shekinah glory is in the Holy of Holies, and the only way that the priest can even get there is if blood is shed. And so now when Christ is saying, I give thanks for this cup, is because all of what he is giving thankful for is because those of us here who are sinful and who's deserving of wrath, Christ is saying, I'm making it possible for the forgiveness of sins and for the accessibility to God who is in heaven. Verse 24 of Hebrews 9. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands. Now, understand what he's saying here. The holy places made with hands was the temple, because you have the holy place and you have the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, all made by hands, instructed by God what to do. The high priest could only go in there once a year to make atonement for Israel. And now what the author of Hebrews is saying is Christ is going to the most holy place, not into the temple, but into heaven itself. God is making accessible through Christ's sacrifice going into the most holy place. He's saying there in verse 24, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared. Say these three words with me. Once for all. At the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So when Christ in Matthew 26 is saying, I give thanks for this cup, for it is the new covenant that I'm establishing, that covenant that we have now, it's a permanent sealed relationship with him. The sacrificial system is over. I don't think, as Christians today, we realize how grateful we should be. So when you, this afternoon, lose your patience, lose your temper, think something you shouldn't think, say something you shouldn't say, do something you shouldn't do, and you call out to the name of God, oh God, forgive me. It's in that moment that Christ took it all on the cross that we can say, God, thank you that I'm a filthy rag, but you've taken it all for me. You see, coming to Christ, there's grace, and there's also grace after we come to Christ to keep us in Christ. And nobody in this room that's perfect. Nobody. And nobody perfect coming to this table either. Because if this is about perfection, then this table's going to stay exactly like it is, and we'll just all look at a distance. You see, the Lord's Supper is a reminder to us that we're in Christ because of grace, and we're in Christ now, and we stay in Christ because of grace. So here's the thing I've thought through. Man, is Christ, is he thankful that his body's going to be broken? Is he thankful that his blood is going to be spilled? And that's the end in of itself. And I think he's thankful because that's going to be a means to an end to accomplish something greater than just saying my body's going to be broken. Taking on that wrath. That my blood's going to be spilled. No. Look at Hebrews 12. I want you to see this. For you see, this text tells us that Christ wasn't just looking at the cross. Although all that I've said, not to diminish any of it. But there's something beyond the cross in regards to what the cross is going to do. Look at Hebrews 12. Verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Here it is. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Look, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You put that in human computation in your head, and it doesn't make sense. For joy, he's looking at the cross. I'll put it parallel again. I'm excited. I'm going to the electric chair. No. It's for the joy that's set before him because he knows that the cross is going to accomplish all that I have just said for you. He knows that the cross is going to be able to enable people whose sins to be forgiven for the shedding of his blood, the punishment that we should be doing, his body being broken. So that, as you notice there in verse 2, what does it say? He's the founder and he's the perfecter of our faith. Because he's going, his body's broken, his blood is shed, he's going to perfect the faith of humanity. And so he looks to it with joy, because he knows, even though he's suffering, he's going to rise again, and our faith will be perfected in him. And so we take the Lord's Supper with much gratitude and thanks this morning that we say, oh God, I am thankful that you are the perfecter of my faith. Because I can tell you, standing in this room, even though I've been a Christian since 10 years old and now 41, I'm still not perfected. I still have room to be worked on. But Christ, his body broken, his blood shed, now seated at the right hand of God, no more need for sacrificial system. And as I take that cup, it is a mixed emotion for me every time. I'm overwhelmed by God's grace for saving my soul. And at the same time, I am filled with joy because I know I'm His. And I know that He is gracious to forgive me when I fail. So Jesus is thankful. Now, how can we be thankful? Let me give these to you very quickly. Number one, we can be thankful, number one, because of His sacrifice. The very things that He has just told us, we're thankful for those things. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God." Understand something. If He doesn't get sacrificed, then we're not going to God on our own. So we're thankful this morning. God, thank You for the sacrifice. Thank You for Your body being broken. Thank You that Your blood was spilt so that we're not doing it. It's done in You. Listen, this is what Christ meant when He's on the cross and He said, It is finished. It's done. So stop trying. It's done in Him. You know, we try to have this mentality. It's like, well, I failed, so I got to do these extra things to try to make up for when we do bad. You know, we've done something wrong. We feel guilty. So then the next week, we try to read our Bible more. We try to go to church more. We try to witness more. It's like we're trying to overcompensate for what we've done wrong. Can I say a witness in the house? You know what we're talking about? And all of that is works. Forget it, guys. In the moment that we sin, we ask Him to forgive us. It's pointing to His sacrifice and say, God, thank You that I don't have to perform for You. It is in our flesh that we think that we have to appease Him. There is nothing in us that can appease. Only in Jesus. Secondly, why we can be thankful. I'm going to give these to you quickly, is for our redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says that He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood, thus securing, notice the adjective here, eternal redemption. I'm going to put these on the screen for the sake of our time this morning. So Christ is not just redeeming us for just a moment, not just for a week, not just for a year, but He is securing us. Let me just remind you. Let me put a definition of what redemption is on the screen so you understand this is the basis and the root for who we are as a church. Redemption is God's action of redeeming or ransoming the lost from slavery to sin and Satan by paying the price of sin debt through Jesus' sacrifice to set free from slavery to sin in order to purchase them for His own possession. Let me write that down for you. What that means is we're trapped. We're bound by sin. We have a debt that's so high we can't get out of it. And we need somebody who has the means to be able to pay us to get us out, because we're not just debted to sin. We're trapped. We're in the kingdom of Satan. And someone's got to come and rescue us out. And that's what Christ did when He secured eternal redemption. It was not by our own doing. He reached down to us through His breaking of His body, shedding of His blood. He redeems us and then He purchases us, gets us out of that mess. And then we belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what redemption means. We've been ransomed. We were slaves and now we're set free, and now we belong to the King of Kings. You see, we didn't have any deeds that could get us out. Our religion couldn't get us out. Our good looks couldn't get us out. Our family couldn't get us out. Nothing's going to get us out except for Christ. Third thing we can be thankful for this morning, we take this Lord's Supper, is forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." Let me tell you what forgiveness means. When God says He forgives us, it means He doesn't hold those sins to our account any longer. Amen. So when you place faith in Christ, forgiveness is granted to you, no matter if you have 5 or 5,000. He forgives you, which means those are not held on your account any longer. How many of us have struggled, though? After salvation, for those of you who are believers and Christ has forgiven us, and those things from the past pop back in your mind. That's not from the Lord. Because if Christ brings about forgiveness, He's not bringing it up again. If it's brought back up, it's been by the enemy or your own flesh and the Satan and his demons throwing it back at you and his tactics saying, are you sure that you're really forgiven because you did such and such? Don't buy into that garbage. Recognize it as warfare and reclaim, remember the forgiveness that He's done for you. So when you come to the table this morning, listen, this in itself, bread and cup, doesn't bring forgiveness to you. That's done in Christ. This is just a reminder when we come and say, oh God, thank you that all that I have done has been forgiven in you. Listen, across this room, if we were just to call out sporadically all that we've done in the past, some of us would probably be surprised of what God has done, but that's exactly what God does. I've told you this is what I want our redemption church to be about, bringing people to the cross and seeing people come, that I want us to be amazed that God can save anyone's past. He can redeem anyone's past, forgive anyone's past. And we think, oh, I didn't do so much. Let me tell you something. You sinned in one part of the law, you're just as filthy as someone else in your mind that's done 50 things. We're all guilty before God. Every one of us. Even if all you did was just scream at your mama one time, you're just as filthy. We're all vile before a holy God. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that His forgiveness has washed us clean. Another reason why we can be thankful this morning is for adoption. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 says, in love, Christ predestined us for God predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. I want you to understand how beautiful this is. If we need to be adopted, that means we didn't have the right kind of family. It means that we did belong to someone, and we were an orphan now. And so adoption is this beautiful picture that God, through His Son Jesus, through the cross, enables us to belong to His family. I've said this to you before, but the word adoption here in the Greek language there and in that culture meant if you got adopted, there was a legal binding contract in that family. You could never get rid of that child. God adopts us. He takes us when we are helpless, hopeless, and rescues us and brings us into His kingdom, gives us a heavenly Father, and gives us brothers and sisters more than we can ever count. So if you ever feel like that you are alone and your head has hung down and you feel like that nobody else is with you, let me just remind you, if you're in Christ, you have more family than you can count. What a beautiful picture, as we have seen with one of our missionary couples, Derek and Jody, who several years ago when they were part of our church before they left, going through that journey of being able to adopt their daughter. And now Bella has a home, has a mom, and has a dad who loves them. Jared and Audrey, last year, us being along that journey praying with them, and then going to an orphanage, to a country where a little boy had no hope of getting out of there, no resources to get out of there. But God, working through Jared and Audrey some thousands of miles away, sovereignly, providentially working it out for them to go far away to reach into that orphanage and pull him out. And then place him into a home where he has a mom and a dad. Adoption. We were hopeless and helpless. And through Christ, He reached us. And He plucked us out of our own ways and placed us into His family. We are thankful. What else does He give us? Right there in Ephesians, turn with me, I want to see this one. Certainly we're thankful for His sacrifice, we're thankful for His redemption, we're thankful for His forgiveness, we're thankful for adoption. But how about our inheritance? Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1, verse 11 through 14, all of these things that I've just mentioned to you, we get to experience right now. We get to experience the benefit of His sacrifice. We get to experience the benefit of redemption. We get to experience the benefit of forgiveness. We get to experience the benefit now of adoption. But there's something yet that we have not yet got to experience. Verse 11, Ephesians 1. In Him we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him. There it is, verse 11. Did you see it? In Him we have obtained what? An inheritance. Having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our what? Inheritance. Until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. So all those wonderful things that we've talked about, redemption, forgiveness, His wonderful work in us and adoption us, and now certainly we have a family now, but there's something yet we have not gotten, and that's our eternal home of inheritance, that one day, even as Jesus says in Matthew 26, He says, I won't eat this again until I eat it with you when? In the new kingdom. So we're taking the Lord's Supper, we're reminded and we're grateful that He's brought us into the family, but there's going to be a joyous celebration one day when we get to heaven. Now, there's a lot more things to be thankful for. Let me just give them to you like a M16 and just give them to you quickly. What else can we be thankful for? Stay with me, Jan. Load bearer. Because of Christ, and He becomes our Savior. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How many loads have been lifted because of Christ? We come to the table, we're thankful that that weight of sin, the guilt of sin, and all that we're trying to do on our own, we say, God, thank you that you've taken it from me. Thank you that I place it upon you. Your yoke is easy, and your burden is light. He's the load bearer, and so don't take it back, believers. Secondly, He is a peacemaker. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we had hostility between God and us, and through Christ, it says in verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace. He has made us both one, has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. You say, I'm okay with God. You've heard me say it before, but He's not okay with us. Our sin puts us at hostility with God, and through Christ, we're thankful He's been a load bearer. He's been a peacemaker. And thirdly, we can be thankful that He's a comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has comforted us in all of our afflictions, so that we in like manner may be able to comfort others. The reason why you can make it through difficult times, the reason why you can in turn be grace to somebody else, is because He was a comforter to you. He also is our healer. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says, by His stripes we are healed. First of all, we are healed spiritually, and then it's even possible for us to be healed because of Him. And so if there is healing, we give Him thanks, we give Him praise, and we give Him glory. And lastly, we give thanks because He is the high priest. Turn with me, and let's end on this verse, Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, Hebrews 10, 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain that is through His flesh, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We come to God with confidence, not because of ourselves, but because of Christ. Folks, we have a reason to be thankful this morning. We're thankful for His sacrifice. We're thankful for His redemption He's given us. We're thankful for our forgiveness. We're thankful for our adoption. We're thankful for our inheritance. We're thankful He's the load bearer, peacemaker, comforter, healer, and high priest. We are thankful this morning. So if you can't come to the table and be thankful, then stay in your seat. We have a lot to be grateful for. You say, Pastor, you have no idea what I'm going through. Well, look at the top of the list. He's your load bearer. You say, I don't feel like I belong anywhere. Let me tell you something. He adopted you into a family. Believer, we have so much that we could complain about. But what we complain about is minuscule. We're reminded of what Christ has done for us. This morning, if you are here and you have yet to repent and believe Christ and trust Him for the forgiveness of your sins, then just a moment, we have examination time. If God is drawing you, listen, you can't fix yourself. You can't make yourself good enough, but you can call out to the Lord Jesus Christ and He can save your soul. Believer, none of us can come to this table in perfection. But Paul does tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we are not to take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. We're ought to examine ourselves. And so in just a moment, we're going to have a time of examination and then we'll open the table up. In that time of examination, this is our invitation. It's time to examine our hearts. Certainly we have the Holy Spirit who should be convicting us every day. When we come to the table, it's almost a climactic moment to be reminded of the fact that if I am harboring sin in my heart, if I'm secretly doing things that's in the wrong, and I'm coming to the table willfully knowing those things, unrepentant, then we're taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So this morning, if there is something that God is convicting you over this morning, deal with it, repent of it, and claim the forgiveness in Christ. So that when we come to the table, it's a reminder, say, God, thank you that you're going to give me the grace to overcome this, and you fill in the blank. Please hear me. No one is perfect, but we should take this seriously and reverently. If God has called us into His faith, may we examine it, because if we come to this table, we want to say, God, I am so thankful that even though I've given my life to You, that You have helped me and I've struggled this past week. Oh, God, I repented that, and by Your grace, I come to You even today. So we're going to have a time of examination. And believer, I want to encourage you, search your heart. Confess sin. Repent of sin. And then come to the table and be thankful for what He has done for us in Christ. And if you are here and you've yet repented and you want to make Christ your King, call to Him. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Call out to Him. Repent of sin and the supernatural power of God will save your soul. Parent, let your children learn. Let this be a gospel teaching moment to them. But if you are unsure of their salvation, let them observe and teach them what this means. We're going to enter a time of examination now. I'm going to ask Jared to come. Jared is one of our pastors and elders, and he and I will be standing at the table. Let me instruct you when this time, after our examination time, after you've examined your heart and you feel that you're ready to come, there'll be music that will be playing. There will be scripture that will be on the screen for your reflection and meditation. This is not a time to talk. It's not a time to be checking text messages and emails on your phone. This is a time to worship God. Scripture will be on the screen. You can reflect, listen, pray. The tables are going to be open. Jared and I are going to stand in the center. If you need prayer, come to us. But if you've examined your heart and you're prepared to receive the Lord's Supper, the table will be open. There'll be a plate of cup and bread on each end of the table. Come. I will invite you to come down the center. I'll take it and then go back around to your chair. Let this be a worshipful time as we worship our Lord together by remembering and being thankful for all that He has done. So if you would at this moment just to bow your head with me and enter a time of examination. After you've examined your heart and you have spent time with the Lord and you feel prepared and ready to come, then you may come.